Om Shanti. A very, very warm welcome to all of Baba's children who are gathered in the auditorium. It's the first time that you've come to Baba's house since March, and so I'm sure you're feeling very welcomed and loved by Baba and the family. And all those who are listening and watching on the webcast, Om Shanti to all of you also. And today is a special day because we're offering bhog for Didi. Didi Manmohini not only had a very special role in the yagya, but she had a very special connection with our London Dadi, UK Dadi, Europe Dadi, and that is Dadi Janki. And of course, Dadi Janki was also Dadi for the whole world, but we claim particular ownership and a little bit of possessiveness about Dadi and her connection with us here. And so it's wonderful that I've been able to come to London, and yes, in a couple of days I'll be out of isolation and then we can meet physically. But now also we're meeting very personally, connected together. Every time we have a Murali, Sakar Murali or Avyat Murali, I become aware that Baba is the ocean. And Baba is Trikadarshi, the one who sees the three aspects of time and has given us that blessing and fortune also. And then we have to keep remembering, not just to see the present or get stuck in the past or worry about the future, but we have to put it into perspective of the whole cycle, past, present and future. And then everything works out well. And so it's important to be able to do that. And so Baba's Murali teaches us how to be able to do that. And today's Murali, again, a very, very beautiful one. On the one side, Baba has been speaking to all the different countries and continents from across the world. February was a time that we were all there in front of Baba. This is from February 86 now. And so it's a time when, yes, all of us were there. And so Baba spoke to UK, Europe, and now today Baba's speaking to Africa, a continent that plays a very special role in the yagya and in the world. But in the yagya, Baba's saying that the first actual formal invitation to open centers in Africa and follow that system of the yagya happened in Africa. So Baba's remembering Ramkaka a great deal. And it's wonderful how Baba adopts this language of the human world. Baba calls him Ramkaka, Kaka. And of course, Baba's just mentioned that soul in this Murali. But in fact, it's Ramkaka that Baba's talking about, and an amazing story there, but another time. But also Baba's recognizing the very powerful role of the instruments there, and also the Baba's acknowledging the role of all the students there. So it's a wonderful passage that Baba has spoken about Africa, and it's very relevant today, not just at that time, but even today. But the other thing that has come up in this particular Murali, and it's an expression that we've often heard Baba use, but now it's taking up different aspects of that angle. And Baba's talking about the personality. And as soon as you hear the word personality, what comes into your mind is the personality of purity. Because this is what Baba has spoken about very often. That Brahma Baba's personality, Mama's personality, Didi's personality, all of them radiated that purity. All the Dadis, in fact. And so a little bit about today's Murali and then a little bit about Didi Manmohini later. But the personality of purity, and of course purity shines from the forehead, from the eyes, from the face, and Baba saying that depends on how much you've been able to clean out everything so that there's not even a thought or dreams of anything that's impure or negative. And yes, of course, purity, firstly, it deals with lust, the big commander of all the vices, but it also deals with all the other little ones, whether it's greed, whether it's attachment, whether it's anger, all the other things that come together. And Baba's mentioned how if there's purity, together with purity, there's a deep connection with peace and also happiness. And we experience this. Purity is lost and peace goes. And purity on any level, any one of the vices. But also then the happiness that one experiences in Sangam Yuga. Purity and happiness, very deeply connected. So if I'm not happy, let me see. Which aspect is there that's taking away my happiness? So Baba said in the same way, impurity also is connected with all the different vices. All are meshed together to a certain extent. And so where do my thoughts come from? Where do my dreams come from? There's something within my sanskars very deep. And so if there's a thought coming, it's a signal. It's still there in my sanskars and I need to do more tapasya to clean it out. And if something comes within my dreams, and of course most times we don't even remember our dreams, sometimes we do, but if something's coming up in my dreams, again, it's something for me, if I remember it, to check out. Why did that happen? Why did this come in my dreams? Maybe in physical life, I was not able to express how I was feeling, so that got suppressed, and that became the anger that I was experiencing in a subtle form. Or maybe I didn't have the courage to say what I wanted to say, but that suppression and that anger. And in my dream, I see myself fighting for that individual. And so whether it's attachment shows up. I'm not even thinking about an individual, but that individual is appearing in my dream. And so why? And so Baba was saying purity, none of the vices, but also not in your thoughts, not in your dreams. But the other thing Baba's connected personality with today, and it's the subject of attainment. To what extent have I filled myself with all the attainments that Baba's wanting to give me in Sangam Yuga? And as we can see, each day as we hear the news, it becomes more and more clear that we're headed to the final period. And I'm not talking in doomsday terms, but I'm talking about the reality of what's going on outside and also the reality of what Brahmins are going through at the moment. It's time for the final manifestations of everything that is impure, and it's reaching its extreme peak in so many different ways. But what must I do? If I see it manifesting in me, I need to clean it out. If I see it manifesting in others, I need to have karuna, compassion, rather than corona. So let me have compassion with Baba's love in such a deep way that I'm able to support and help others who are on the journey. So at this moment, I check and see, what has been my attainment from Baba in Sangam Yuga? Baba's offered me all treasures. And so to what extent have I taken those treasures and filled them within myself? And Baba's talked about our moods. Do we go through phases of moods, like the moon goes through its different phases? Or am I like the sun, up above, And so not going through phases, but stable and steady and continually filled with light, sharing light. And I remembered a picture that we used to have here in London, and it's in the illustrations of Raj Yoga book that Jagdish Pai had created around 1974. And in the book, there's this image, and it's a horizontal image, and it's got all the different moods of people. And somehow that he liked that picture a lot. And when he'd gone to Mexico for the first time, I'd been before already, but then there was an invitation for Daddy to come. And so I went with Daddy and Mexico. Daddy had this picture. I've forgotten whether we took it from London or it was there at the center there. But we were given opportunities to speak in colleges and schools there. And we had this picture with us that he told me to take it everywhere. And Daddy looked at the students and looked at this picture and asked them, tell me, out of all these images of all the different moods that a human face goes through, where are you at? And of course, it was great breaking of the ice, and it became a very warm, connected, very engaging talk that Daddy gave to them. And so, what happens to my moods? Do my moods go from one extreme to the other? Or my moods, maybe not extremes, but they go through a spectrum. Sometimes sort of okay, sometimes very okay, and all the stages in between. And it doesn't depend on whether the sun is shining or not. It doesn't depend on whether it's hot or cold. It doesn't depend on other people around me. It depends on what's happening inside of me. And if I can switch my mind and my awareness from all the other things that are going on and focus on the attainments that Baba has given me, then there's going to be the happiness of those attainments. Just sit and make a list of all that you've attained from Baba through Sangam Yoga. From the moment you recognized Baba and Baba found you, and you'll see that it's a long, 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 long list. And it's very interesting that Baba's also mentioned today the whole question of how, if you have those attainments within yourself, then you have the capacity to be able to share that happiness with others also. And people at this moment are desperate. You can see it in their eyes, you can see it in their behavior. And so am I so full that I'm able to share something of those treasures with them and help them find God? Because in this last period, just imagine how many souls have we served within my particular city. London has a big population, but wherever it is you are and wherever you're listening, do all the souls here know Baba? And for sure they don't. Only a tiny, tiny fraction of them know Baba. And so yes, Baba's given us the method of service through the mind, and that's important, of course. But the other thing is, whoever it is I meet through my day, and there's many, many people you meet through the day, even though it's locked down, in some places it's eased off, in some places it's still pretty heavy. But wherever it is and whoever it is I'm passing by, maybe it's the shopkeeper where I go to buy my vegetables, maybe it's the milkman, whoever it is, am I able to give them a smile that's filled with the attainment that I have had from God, so that it sparks something within them and they feel that, yes, this person is not an ordinary person. And maybe it doesn't happen the first time you see them. But if my mood is stable and filled with happiness instead of any fluctuation, then my stability is going to be able to give them that feeling, that experience that they've got something that I also want. And maybe then second time you see them, third time you see them, they'll actually speak to you and say, by the way, I noticed that you're always happy. And so then you can share something with them and make them come closer to God. And so at this moment in the cycle, Baba's reminding us the personality of purity, but also the personality of happiness. And so that happiness reflected on my face and will show others what it is I have been able to take from God, so that they also truly are able to have the inspiration that they want to come close to God, and they take that step to be able to come closer. So today's Murali, again, very, very beautiful, and printing it in your heart and in your mind so that it stays with you and helps you come to that stage. Didi, of course, Daddy Janki's special friend, and so there was a natural connection that London had with Didi for that reason. But also, when I said to Baba, Baba, I want to surrender. And Baba said, Baba knew it already. Then Baba said to me, okay, you sort out everything and then come back and Baba will send you on service. And so I came back in the month of October and Baba said to me, child, where would you like to go on service? And I knew nothing about service in India at all. I'd met Jagdish Pai, I'd met Ramesh Pai, I'd met many of the Dadis, but service, I had no idea. And so I said to Baba, Baba, wherever you say. And Baba then called Didi. Didi Manmohini was Baba's assistant at that point, the manager of the Yagya. And Baba called Didi and said to Didi, Didi, you're going on tour. Take her with you and see where you can settle her. And Didi's intention through that whole tour was to give sustenance. And so whenever she had a moment, she would be sharing something from her own life. And so this is how, right from the moment we started our journey, leaving Abu to go down the mountain, and that was about 9 o'clock at night, I think, because the train to Jaipur goes at 11 o'clock. It still goes at 11 o'clock at night. Same trains arriving 4:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And I thought that 9 o'clock at night, Didi is going to be wanting to be quiet. But Didi started the journey and started sharing her experience. And that was actually the last time she saw Sakar Baba. We didn't know that, but that's how it turned out. And Didi shared how the only reason she had been taught to read and write was, A, to be able to write to her husband, who would be abroad working. And that's how the Sindhi community happened. They went abroad, worked, and came back. And so she needed to learn to read and write, to write letters. Secondly, she needed to know this so that she could be able to do the household budget. That was her job. And thirdly, she needed to be able to write laundry lists. Can you imagine the sort of world Didi grew up in? Very, very closed community. Absolutely stuck in various ways. And Didi had the courage to come out from that, and she was the first one, the very first one to surrender, earlier than Mama, earlier than Daddy Prakashmani. And her love for Baba and the memorial and the scriptures, Gopi must be her memorial, the one who was intoxicated with love for God. And so her Lokic name was Gopi, and she surrendered with that love. And then the whole journey, of course, you all know about. I don't want to repeat that. But the other thing that I came to know about Didi was Didi's love for study. And whenever I'd go from London, and for 4 years that Dijan, he couldn't travel to Madhuban, as you know. But most times in that period, Daddy sent me to India twice a year with groups or various meetings that were happening in Madhuban to represent her. That was Daddy's love and trust. And when I'd go to Madhuban, Didi would sit me down and say, "What is Sadi Janki talking about? What is she thinking about?" And we didn't have emails, we didn't have video conferencing, and we weren't writing Daddy's classes and circulating them across the world. So Didi was curious, what's going on in Daddy's mind? And so I would share with her the essence of Daddy's classes. And she would actually listen and take note. And then she would add her comments also, Daddy's saying this, and yes, this happened with Sakar Baba, and so on and so on. And so she really would study, not just the Muralis, but she would pay attention to what Daddy's classes were all about. And then when I'd leave Madhuban, she would give me a list of points, tell me to write them down and communicate them with Daddy, so that Daddy would get a flavor of what was going on in Madhuban and Bharat, things that weren't being talked about or written about in letters. And so it was a joy to be a messenger between Daddy and Didi and Didi and Daddy in that way. So her student life. And when she started touring abroad in India, I had the opportunity of touring with her many times, but abroad. Before any lecture, and this happened in New York, in London, in Singapore, in Japan, because I had that fortune of being with her in all these places, she would say to me, "What should I talk about?" And I'd say to Didi, "Didi, you know better than I." And she said, "No, you know what these people are thinking. You know what's happening in their life. Tell me." So I just give a little description of what was going on in that particular city or country. And she would say, "Okay, now I know what to say." And so can you imagine Didi in her 70s at that point, and I was in my 30s. Now, how many would have that humility to ask and to listen and then to follow that guidance or suggestion or whatever you call it? So Didi's student life, her intellect always keen to learn. And talking about Didi's intellect, amazing. Didi's intellect was absolutely clear and clean and sharp. She could cut through whatever were the masks that people had and be able to see them and be able to share with them an insight about what they needed to do in terms of their progress forward. And because Didi had spent so much time with Sakar Baba, she would always think about, what would Baba say? What would Baba do? It was second nature for her. She didn't have to make herself think that. It was automatic. Anything that would happen, Didi's first thought, what would Baba say? What would Baba do? And of course, the clarity of her intellect, and she'd remember all the things that Baba had said and done, and so she would then follow in those footsteps. And so when Didi would speak to somebody, I could feel that, again, it was like she was invoking Baba, and with Baba's presence, then say to them whatever it is she needed to say. And what I would observe was that when Didi would tell somebody, this is what you need to give attention to, they would take it with that same dignity and grace with which Didi was speaking. They wouldn't be offended, they wouldn't be upset, no, they would feel Didi's benevolence, that she wanted nothing but the best for them, and so they would take it to heart in that way. Didi's quality of surrender and her ability to inspire many, many others to surrender was well known. When Didi would give her focus and attention to somebody, those around her would know that she's seeing an air quality soul and is giving them that awareness that yes, they are instruments for something big, and that when they surrender, then Baba can use them as an instrument. And so many of the original sisters from Delhi would tell you that it was Didi's drishti and Didi's sustenance that gave them that ability to belong to Baba fully and then do the service that they were doing. And for myself also, Didi gave me one piece of advice which I would say protected me and helped me at all times. Didi would say, don't connect souls with yourself. Connect them with someone higher than you and let them be responsible for their life. And of course she meant Dadi Janki. And so my intention always in the days of communicating with students was let them connect with Dadi as soon as possible. And of course early days Dadi would be meeting students immediately. They'd finish the first lesson and Dadi would meet them. And then things began to change and Dadi would meet them maybe at the end of their course. But always that awareness that if I connect souls with someone higher than myself, they're going to be able to take more benefit and come closer to Baba in that way. So that was one piece of advice that I've never forgotten from Didi. But always, always, Didi is so accurate in all maryadas, in all forms of Srimad. And so the two mantras that one I heard right at the very beginning, Ek Bal Ek Bharosa, one strength, one support. And that was right in that first journey with Didi. And then the last experience with Didi abroad. And Didi came to New York. I was there. And as soon as she stepped down from the plane and she met with us, she started with this mantra, it's time to go home. Ab ghar chalna hai. And this mantra was her mantra in classes in New York. Then she went to the Caribbean with Ramesh Bhai. And then she came back to London. And in London also, ab ghar chalna hai. It's time to go home. And that was 1982, and of course, 83, Didi flew away. And Didi was on the phone to me just a few days before she went into hospital. She was in Bombay, I was in London, in Baba Bhavan. And she phoned me and said, don't worry about Dadi Janki, she's going to be fine. Because Dadi had been unwell for a year, more than a year, with the lack of diagnosis of her thyroid issues. And so she was now with Didi in Bombay. And everybody thought that Dadi's health is fragile. But in fact, it was Didi's health that was very fragile. But Didi specially phoned me to say, Dadi's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. She's been diagnosed and the medication is working. She'll be coming back to London to you. And so her loving concern. And then of course Didi flew away. And I'll always remember that book message that because Didi had missed 3 months of being with Baba in that final period in Sakar, she carried this thought in her mind, I missed that time with Sakar Baba. And so Baba gave her 10 days in the subtle region with Baba. And here we were seeing Didi in a coma, and Dadi Janki would phone me. I was getting calls every day to give me updates. And so at some point Dadi Janki said, Didi's in ICU, but her face doesn't look as if she's suffering. Her face looks as if she's enjoying time with Baba. And that's exactly what the Bhoog message that Dadi Gulzar brought back was, that Didi was enjoying that period of 10 days that she'd missed in Sakar. Baba wanted her to experience that in the subtle region. Can you imagine such a deep bond of love that if there's a thought that I have, that I've missed something, Baba keeps that thought and fulfills that thought. Baba doesn't ignore it. But if I have a pure, powerful thought, Baba's watching. Baba knows. I don't have to say anything to anyone, but Baba knows, and Baba's going to fulfill that thought of mine. I have to make sure it's a pure thought. If it's other things, then drama and maya and all sorts of things can come. If it's a pure thought that I have, Baba's going to see it and Baba's going to fulfill it. And so I know that we've got other things lined up now, but I just want to say that together with offering bhog for Didi, we're also going to be remembering another very precious soul of the Yagya who was in the Yagya in the days in Karachi, and Daddy Janki was responsible for the children in Boy Bhavan. That was the name of that place where the young boys were. And so Mohan Dada was one of those boys in Boy Bhavan who Daddy looked after. And so he passed away last year, and Daddy's message for him was a very beautiful one. So that soul, we're remembering and offering bhog, but also to our dear brother Ramrik. Ramrik Bhai, of course, when he came from Africa with Swati Ben and Sudha Ben, it was 1977. I remember I met them first time when Daddyji had come. And so it was a very warm feeling because I'd met them in Madhuban, but now from Africa, they moved to London, and today they can't be here with us, but we're offering bhog for Ramrik Bhai also. It's the 6th anniversary today. And so Baba has very, very wonderful jewels in the advance party now, and bhog will be offered for Didi, but also these other two souls, and I'm sure there are some others too. And so when we offer bhog, we'll especially remember them all. But now I know we've got a few things lined up to show you more about Didi. Om Shanti.